Venerable religious, dear parishioners, we are celebrating the great feast of Pentecost today, the coming of the Holy Ghost, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord. And just to share with you a historical tidbit, I just was reading this last night that in some churches in Europe, obviously with permission, there was a custom of having red rose petals be released from the ceiling of the church and flutter down. This would be in a large cathedral, of course. And it was to represent the tongues of fire that came upon the apostles on Pentecost Sunday. And the church does not approve that custom now, but it's interesting how that effort was being made to try to convey what happened that day. So as we celebrate this great feast, let us remember that it is the birthday of the church. It is fully born. And it is now beginning this very day with 3,000 baptisms to grow. And despite the worst persecutions through the centuries, despite the worst circumstances, it will grow and spread. And it will survive till the end of time, for it has the promise of Christ and the presence of the Holy Ghost in the church. And it will survive like nothing else can be guaranteed to survive. Even in our times, with so much heresy and sin, the church will survive. We know that for an absolute fact. But let us reflect on who the Holy Ghost is, since he is the central figure, you might say, of today's feast, indeed of this whole week, Pentecost week, the Holy Ghost. Who is he? And of course, we have to reflect upon the doctrine of the Trinity, of the three in one, a mystery. There are not three gods. There are three persons in one God. And we can only understand up to a point, because this is an infinite thing. If anybody thinks that he could understand the Trinity, he would have to have an infinite mind. And I don't think anybody, no matter how great his pride and conceit, would say, I have an infinite mind, so therefore I can understand an infinite mystery. So we'll never fully understand it. We can try to understand it. We can understand it up to a point, but we'll never fully grasp it. Let me tell you a little bit about the Trinity. Hopefully tell you something more than what you know. In the Holy Trinity, there are two, what theologians call, internal processions. One procession is a generation. The other is a proceeding. The Father generates or begets the Son. Isn't that true of all fathers? They beget their children. The Father begets the Son. He never began, he always did. And that's why this Son is equal to the Father. And then the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. This is different. Generation and proceeding, two different kinds of things. It's what makes the distinction of persons in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three very clear persons, but not fractions of the Trinity. They indwell each other. And the New Testament is filled with allusions to these relationships. Jesus speaks about the Father. In today's gospel, he says, the Father is greater than I. But remember, our Lord is speaking as man. That's why he says, the Father is greater than I. But when he's speaking as God, he says, the Father and I are one. Again, this is a mystery. How this all works, it's the most incomprehensible, most spectacularly beautiful doctrine and truth. So, as I said, the pages of Scripture are filled with explanations and references to the Father, to the Son, and to the work of the Holy Ghost. And very clearly we're taught the Holy Ghost regenerates and gives life. In the Credo today, the Lord and life giver, which is why we say our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. And today at Mass, the server, the thurifer, will incense you. Why? Because he's honoring the Holy Ghost living in his temples. If you are in the state of sanctifying grace, and hopefully every one of us is, the all-important state of grace, the presence of the Holy Ghost will be honored through that incensation. So the Holy Ghost is a real person. He was sent by the Father and the Son. Not that the Father and Son are inadequate in any way, and not to say that they just step back and do nothing, because the three persons always work together, but there's that ascribing of regeneration and sanctification to the Holy Ghost, and that's what he does. He not only is in the temple of our soul, body, he's also the soul of the church. And how does he help the church? He helps it with grace and with his gifts. And very briefly, to tell you an analogy that is so helpful in understanding the gifts of the Holy Ghost as opposed to the virtues. I always give this in confirmation classes. And this analogy comes from Cardinal Billot, the French cardinal who lived at the time of Pope Pius X and who Pope St. Pius X relied on as a theologian, and he helped him to draft that great encyclical on modernism issued in 1907. But Cardinal Billot says, the virtues which we have to practice are like the engine in a boat. You know, it's our duty to make sure that that is operating, whatever work it takes to make sure that engine is doing its job, you know, turning the propeller so that we can reach our goal of getting across the sea of life. But he says we don't just have to have that engine. He says we have the sails. There are seven sails in our little boat. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And he said, it is our duty not to provide the wind. We can't. That's the Holy Ghost. You know, on Pentecost Sunday, there was such a mighty wind blowing through Jerusalem that it gathered everybody to where the apostles were awaiting the Holy Ghost, and then when they went forth and preached, the people were right there. So the Holy Ghost is the divine wind, to use this analogy, and he will blow when he sees the need. So there we are on the sea of life, and sometimes in bad storms or in calms, whatever the situation is, we keep our engine going, but the Holy Ghost will blow whenever we need it. And he will blow so well, we almost don't need that engine. There are times in our lives, we recognize them, where we feel carried along. And we know it's the special help of God. It's the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So our duty is to make sure that our sails are unfurled, that they're in good condition, that they're ready to receive the wind. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us. So maintain those sails well. And the Holy Ghost renews the face of the earth. We say that in the prayer over and over. Come and renew the face of the earth. When he came on Pentecost, there was a fire that happened that day. It set the apostles on fire, and they began to set the world on fire. But make no mistake, this setting on fire means becoming holy. One of the worst misnomers of all time was this saying that Vatican II was going to be a new Pentecost. It was absolutely no Pentecost at all. Because when the Holy Ghost came, we saw the world being converted away from sin, life of fervor, life of prayer, life of good works, less sin. What's happened since Vatican II? Anybody that has eyes to see will see that, will see the tremendous increase in sin, in liberalness, in heresy. How can that be a Pentecost? It's the complete opposite. As our Lord said, by their fruits you will know them. How do you know if the Holy Ghost is working in you or in anybody else or me? Or how? Because there will be less sin and more fervor. And yet in this new church, it's the church of anything goes. Just call yourself a Catholic and drop money in the collection box and everything's fine. No, the Holy Ghost came to wash away sin with his grace and gifts and with our cooperation with his grace. So that's where we will know there will always be a true Pentecost or a renewal of the Pentecost when the good works and the lessening of sin happens. So let us be fervent, my dear brethren. It's a difficult time, a most difficult time, because traditional Catholics are so few in number. But as we've seen, the Holy Ghost brings the church through whatever happens, and the Holy Ghost is bringing the church now, and he will till the end of time. It is our role, our duty, our solemn obligation to be holy Catholics. And with the grace of God, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, we will be able to do that. May we become the saints that God, the Holy Ghost, Holy Mother Mary, and all the angels and saints wish of us. Keep cooperating with those graces and gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.